The First United Church of Christ in Sauk City. WRPQ Baraboo. W279 EG Reedsburg. We take you to St. John's Lutheran Church in Baraboo for the Sunday morning worship service. For worship times, visit stjohnsbaraboo.org.
Good evening, all. Welcome to St. John's. Please take time to sign our guest registers on the end of the pews. We're here for Christ the King Sunday. And we're having some interesting, the gospel especially is an interesting one, that is this a king? And yet we know who he is, the one who reigns in power, in his grace, and with great glory. We begin our worship with our first hymn, which is, Oh, for a Thousand Tongues to Sing, hymn 520. Hymn 520.
We invite you to the Sunday morning worship service from St. John's Evangelical Lutheran Church in Baraboo, Wisconsin. St. John's is a member of the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod and proclaims the Word of God to a confused and uneasy world. Let us now prepare our hearts and minds and ask the Lord's blessing on our worship today. Pastor Timothy Kuski will bring us a message from God's Word, speaking on the scripture reading from John chapter 18, verses 33 through 37, This is a King. Our worship this morning follows setting 2, found on page 172 in the Christian Worship Hymnal. Our congregation is opening the service and singing our opening hymn from the Christian Worship Hymnal, Oh, for a Thousand Tongues to Sing, hymn number 520 from the Christian Worship Hymnal.
Please rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Let's confess our sins. Blessed are they whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Let us confess our sins to the Lord. Almighty and merciful Father, we have strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed what we have devised and desired in our hearts. We have offended you and sinned against your holy law. We have done those things that we should not have done, and we have not done those things that we should have done. Have mercy on us, Lord. Spare us, forgive us, and restore us according to your promises in Christ Jesus. Our gracious Father in heaven has been merciful to us. He sent his only Son, Jesus Christ, who gave his life as the atoning sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Mercy. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, my gracious Lord. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, by your victory, you have broken the power of the evil one. Fill our hearts with joy and peace as we look with hope to that day when every creature in heaven and on earth will acclaim you King of Kings and Lord of Lords to your unending praise and glory. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Our first lesson is from Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. It reminds us that long before Christ came to earth to bring peace with God, he already reigned in heaven and has all the confidence of God the Father. We read, "I kept watching the night visions, and there in the clouds of heaven, I saw one like a son of man coming. He came to the Ancient of Days, and he was brought before him. To him was given dominion, honor, and a kingdom. All peoples, nations, and languages will worship him. His dominion is an eternal dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will not be destroyed." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We continue with Psalm 95. It's set to a hymn tune, so we sing Psalm 95 from the Psalter, page 494 in the Psalter, if you'd like to follow along there. Our second lesson is from Revelation chapter 1, reminding us that this Christ will reign through eternity over all who love him, and even over those who fought him. We read, "Grace to you and peace from him who is, who was, and who is coming, and from the seven spirits that are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his own blood and made us a kingdom and priests to God his Father. To him be the glory and the power forever. Amen." Look, he is coming on the clouds, and every eye will see him, including those who pierced him, and all the nations of the earth will mourn because of him. Yes, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, the one who is and who was and who is coming, the Almighty. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please rise and we will sing the gospel acclamation. Gospel lesson will serve as our sermon text as well. And here we may not see him as a king, but we certainly know that he is acting as one. We read, Pilate went back into the praetorium and summoned Jesus. He asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Are you saying this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own people and chief priests handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus replied, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I would not be handed over to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." "You are a king, then?" Pilate asked. Jesus answered, "I am, as you say, a king. For this reason I was born, and for this reason I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise be to you, O Christ. Please be seated for our next hymn, hymn 531, "The Head That Once Was Crowned with Thorns." Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus, our Christ, our King. Dear citizens of Christ's kingdom, as we remember this reading, which is pretty much etched in our minds because we'll read it again during Lent, remember what Jesus looked like when he stood before Pilate. He was bruised. He had been beaten and whipped. And the blood was flowing from the crown of thorns on his head. And then Jesus had the audacity to say this: "You are right in saying I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." This is a king, beaten and bloodied and bruised? Don't let your eyes fool you. Christ was on the right path, doing exactly what a king was supposed to do. There he stood, accused by the spiritual leaders of the Jews. Pilate had heard the accusations, and this was strange to him, that those religious leaders, who really were his political enemies, had handed this Jesus over to him. It was clear that these Jewish leaders needed him. He did not know yet what they needed him for, but we know that they needed Pilate to put Christ on the cross, to put blood on his hands and not on theirs. He interviewed Jesus in comfort inside his own palace, where especially the Jewish leaders would not go. Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "Is that your own idea?" Jesus asked, "or did others talk to you about me?" It's interesting to see a conversation that really isn't connecting here. Pilate's all about what's happening right now. Pilate's all about dealing with this Sanhedrin, whom he's very suspicious of. And here they bring him someone who's supposed to be a rebel. He certainly doesn't look it. There's a serious accusation here. Rebellion against the emperor. That's really what the accusation was. One that deserved death in the Roman area. But Pilate knew those religious leaders. And he was a pretty sharp guy himself. He knew from all the centurions that had heard and listened to him over the years, the ones that Jesus did healings for, that this Christ was a preacher, a religious guy, had a huge following. He understood at that point exactly what was going on. Jesus was usurping the religious power of those in Jerusalem, and they wanted the Roman Empire to do their dirty work. I want you to think about that. Here, the religious leaders wanted to have someone dead. We're plotting his murder. It's not exactly the kind of religious leaders you'd like, is it? People who plot murder. Unfortunately, that's what happens at times when sinful temptations come along. And Pilate could see through their conniving. But Jesus, here's the part of his conversation that didn't really match up. He was more concerned about Pilate's soul than about what was going to happen according to God's will anyway. He knew exactly what was going to happen. And he just wanted to get Pilate into a different conversation. Did somebody talk about me? Is that your own idea of who I am?
I was thinking, this guy, wouldn't these people who come before me who are on the docket for crucifixion, wouldn't they be concentrating on the crucifixion part? But not Jesus. Pilate, of course, was more concerned about the possibility of riot and rebellion because the whole city had erupted before. But Jesus is trying to be a king and lead Pilate where he needs to go. Jesus is trying to be a spiritual king and get the conversation to where he can talk about why he's there. Am I a Jew? Pilate replied. It was your people and your chief priests who handed you over to me. What is it you've done? Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another place. What have you done? Pilate asked. He knew better. This guy had always been peaceable. He'd done miracles. Everybody knew it. Herod knew it. And if Pilate was worth his salt, he would have found out and known exactly what Jesus was. But he also knew this was a different culture, and he knew he did not probably have all the facts. And so, what do you got to do? You got to ask. That's what he did. He needed to make sure he navigated this very well so that he didn't have a riot. These things are important for the governor to know, and so he asks questions. He understood the political machinations at this point, but he didn't understand Jesus, and neither did the Sanhedrin. Pilate didn't want a riot. He did not want his men to kill any Jews, and he didn't want any of his men to die. That was important to him. But dying wasn't important to Jesus. He knew exactly why he was there. And he knew he had done exactly nothing, and so did Pilate. This was an innocent man here. He had not gathered a force against Rome. And Jesus proves it in the words to come. Here, Jesus knew that the royal plan was on the docket. Jesus knew this is exactly what had to happen for him to be the king he's supposed to be. He was about to fight the worst enemies of ours, sin, death, and the devil. And he resolutely went forward in it. He didn't care how it happened. If Pilate had said, well, let's wait a day, somehow God would have made sure that Jesus was on a cross before noon on that day. The plan was going to happen. But again, isn't it interesting that Jesus uses his kingship to fight for a soul? You see, Jesus wants his kingdom to grow, and he has all power in heaven and on earth. His kingdom is extended over all things. He even has power over hell, where he takes away all his blessings. He was content that he had power over heaven and earth, and he didn't need to change the situation where he was bruised and bleeding and bloody. What was happening here was him inserting his power over Satan. This is his kingdom of power. And he had to defeat Satan in a very specific way. Christ's rule is only by his truth, and he tells the truth. A sacrifice had to be made, and he was ready to do it. This is the way he was going to fight Satan. Not by hurting others, not by gathering people to fight and make war, because his kingdom is not of this world. And he offers proof to Pilate about that. There's no rebellion going on. They aren't fighting to get me released, are they? All my followers, you know I have my share. If I was leading a rebellion, wouldn't they be breaking down the walls at this moment? It's a great point. One that Pilate really understood as a man from this earth. And so he was still even more confused about his calmness as he faced death. You see, Jesus knows the true enemy, Satan himself, and the sin and the death he brings. And this is what we need to remember on this last Sunday of the church year, because this is what it's all about. A kid asked me in catechism just yesterday, what's the meaning of life? Okay, he was trying to just distract me and keep me from continuing to teach, because that's what kids do. And I had given them the opportunity to do so. But I said, you know what? Your purpose on earth is to glorify the God who saved you, who fought your enemies and won. Because I was thinking about this sermon, I could say it that way. And what an amazing answer that is for all of us. What is your purpose in life? To follow the King. Because he's already won. He has the power of all things. And there he stands before Pilate, who's just trying to make sure he doesn't have any problems here on earth. He doesn't have a riot. And he says, I am no threat to you. Jesus proves it to him. Jesus didn't want a riot. He wanted God's plan by God's power to come true. So don't let your eyes fool you when you see Jesus bruised, beaten, and bloody. He did not intend to conquer an earthly kingdom. That's not what he's here to do. He rules with his grace. You see, the threat is not with Jesus, but it's with those sinful chief priests. And I want you to think about them too. Because many of them knew their scriptures. They knew the prophecies from the Old Testament. They knew their Bibles. And I say here a bunch of people who have studied the Bible. Can you too be fooled? Can Satan give you a temptation that puts something more important than the most important thing that Jesus ever did? That's what Satan tries to do every time. He gets you to try to say, well, I'm not going to repent over that one because I was right, even though you were wrong in God's eyes. That's what he tries to do every time. That's what Satan tries to do every time he makes you think, oh, that sin is too big for God to forgive. But nothing is too big for Christ to forgive, because Christ rules in another kingdom, that kingdom of grace. Jesus said, my kingdom. Pilate hears Jesus say that he is a king. He recognizes that Jesus is claiming ruling activity. And he thinks that must mean armies. That's what you think. And we know people in this world who only think about ruling with armies. Think of Mr. Putin. Think of people in the Middle East. That's power, according to them. But that's not the kind of power that Jesus has, and he has much more of it. My place is not in this world, not of this place. And you can see Pilate getting a little more nervous, because Pilate was a son of the Roman society. And although he may not have really gone with all the Roman gods and their demigods, which are half human and half God, now this one scares him. His calmness and his demeanor and his clear claim that he's a king. Not afraid of the accusation that's been made, not afraid to speak up to be heard. And it's even better when he says he was born for this job. For this I was born. For this I came into the world. This is truly kingly, isn't it? That kings inherit their kingdom. That it's something that is in their family and they're born to it. He came here to rule. But he didn't come to rule like Pilate thought. He came with words and not with threats. With grace and not with violence. And it's even interesting to think about that phrase. You wonder if Jesus was said when he said this, for this I came into the world. Did he point to himself and indicate the beatings and the bruises and the bleeding. For this I came into the world. You and I know that's exactly why he came into the world. To give his life as an offering for many, to fight Satan and defeat him completely. This is his kingdom of grace. This is the way that he defends you and me, and he preserves for us a place to live forever. This is a king fighting the battle that needs to be fought, truly acting as a king. And just as Pilate sees no threat, and even publicly washes his hands, he publicly said, I see no reason for a charge against him, because Jesus had gotten him that far. You see, Christ rules hearts. Christ rules with the truth. And even though the truth wasn't understood by Pilate, certainly not at this point, he was seeking Pilate's soul to the last. Not just the group of everybody, but even Pilate himself. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. Jesus was inviting him, wanting him to trust Jesus, to let Jesus rule in Pilate's heart. And then we need to ask the question for ourselves and compare ourselves to Pilate. Does Jesus really rule in my heart? Or do I do the pick and choose thing out there? You know, I like this part of the Bible, I'll follow that, but I'm not going to do that over there, even though God said it. I think it's important for us to see that. Does he really rule in our hearts? Do you really follow everything he has spoken? We need to examine ourselves. We need to come before him in repentance, humbly as before, of all things, a king. And we'll find that this king is one that is full of grace, who receives our confession and reminds us of the forgiveness that he won on the cross. Pilate was in a different place. Chief priests were taking up his mind. And they were offering a carrot that there would be no riot if you crucify Jesus. But they were also offering a stick. If you don't do what we want you to do, we will riot. We'll make it happen. Pilate was in a tough spot. What a comparison to the way Christ rules, with the simple truth. Standing there, confident in what would happen. Confident in what way he was going. Confident in exactly what he was about to do. And that's because Jesus sees every day his kingdom of glory. Even while he was there, he could see into the hearts of men and see his rule through faith in their hearts. All those who have faith in their hearts are within that kingdom of glory. They're just not quite to eternity yet. And that's where Christ still rules. In spite of the blood and the beatings and the bruises, Christ still rules. His grace gained the kingdom, that eternal kingdom, by defeating our enemies. The result is that heaven is open again. And even though Satan had slammed shut that door, God in Christ, by his promise given to Adam and Eve, opened that door again. And he would do it in a few hours after Pilate condemned him. You see, Christ is aiming for the kingdom of glory, not just for himself, but for all those who follow him, for all who are part of his kingdom. Pilate said it this way, "You are a king then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You are right in saying I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." even trying to get jaded old Pilate into heaven by speaking this truth about the heavenly realms. That's what Jesus was doing, trying to get him to see his glorious kingdom. I hope it worked. I guess we'll find out when we get there. Christ did not come to earth to establish an earthly kingdom, to measure his kingdom by square miles. No, he measures it by souls. Souls that have gone to glory, all those who have gone before us and have found joy and peace in heaven. He opened the kingdom of heaven to all believers because he was the king who fought the fight that we could not. Make sure you see past the blood, the bruises. See how he defeated every enemy of his, the devil, sin, and death. And rejoice that he opened the kingdom of heaven for you. This is your king. Amen. Please rise. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. We continue with the prayer of the church, which will be on the screen in a responsive way. I will also add a couple of prayers, one for the family of Virginia Shanks, whom the Lord has called home, and one for our hunters. Eternal Lord, give us peace as we ponder the good news that you forgive our sins in Christ. Lead us to see clearly the path you have laid out for us. Provide courage and compassion to all who preach and teach your word. Fill them with a love like yours as they proclaim your grace to us and all people. Guard and guide the families of our congregation. Lead husbands and wives to love each other with commitment, respect, and patience. Help parents to grasp the eternal value of keeping their children close to Jesus all their lives. Grant joy to those who are single and make them a blessing to others. Provide wisdom and insight to those who make laws and set policies. Give us respect for those who protect us from crime. Lead us to value the rights of our fellow citizens and to defend those who cannot defend themselves. Give us passion to share the story of your love with our family and friends. Overcome unbelief and open the hearts of people everywhere to believe the good news that Jesus has forgiven their sins and open the gates of heaven. Extend your healing power to those who are sick and suffering in body and mind. Give patience and compassion to all who care for the sick and dying. Hear us, Lord, as we pray in silence. Heavenly Father, we pray for the family of Virginia Shanks, who at the age of 96 was still the mother of several in our church. Lord God, bless them as they mourn, but rejoice with them over one more soul who has entered the kingdom of glory with joy and peace. Remind us of your power over death, that you rule death and sin and Satan, who tried to take our loved ones away, and even tries to take us away from the kingdom of glory. Bless us that we may always see our King and follow him, like Virginia Shanks, to that kingdom of glory and her home. Heavenly Father, we also pray your mercy on those who go out to hunt, to find a harvest from the world that you created. Dear Heavenly Father, bless all of our hunters, first of all, with safety. Help them to come back from the field with a joyful harvest and a smile on their face. Dear Lord, protect them from trouble. Do not let them take a shot that is unknown what's behind that next field. Make their shots true and right so that there's no suffering for the animal. Dear Heavenly Father, give them the integrity to respect your creation and rejoice in how you give us good things. Help us all to remember this kind of harvest as a gift of God's generosity. Gracious God, you govern and direct all things, and you love all people. Hear our prayers, spoken and silent, and answer them in your wisdom and grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our offering is at the door. We'll continue with our next hymn, which is Stand Up for Jesus. And I'm actually going to have you stand up on verse 4. All right.
We'll join the congregation as we sing hymn number 872 from the Christian Worship Hymnal, Stand Up for Jesus.
Thank you.
Almighty God, we thank you for teaching us the things you want us to believe and do. Help us by your Holy Spirit to keep your word in pure hearts, that we may be strengthened in faith, guided in holiness, and comforted in life and in death. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And in your name we also pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look on you with his favor and give you peace. Amen. Please be seated for our final hymn, Lord, When Your Glory I Shall See. This is exactly what Ginny Shanks is enjoying. Couple of quick announcements. Please remember that we're changing from a Thursday morning service for Thanksgiving and going to a Wednesday evening service at 6:30 for Thanksgiving. So please make sure that you set that in. Right. Also, Friday, December 6th, Advent by Candlelight. There's some organization there to sign up for. An announcement from St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Mauthen. They have a live nativity there. And I went to one when I was over in Sheboygan, and they always had llamas because there was a farmer who had llamas near Sheboygan. Well, these don't have llamas. These actually have the cattle and the sheep and the goats. So come check that out at St. Paul's. In Mauthen, I think the dates and the times are in your service folder. Any other announcements? Did I miss anything, Pastor Ertl? I'm putting you on the spot, man. I don't think I have anything. Nope. Okay. Good evening to all of you. God bless.
The Sunday Morning Worship Hour comes to you each Sunday morning from St. John's Evangelical Lutheran Church in Baraboo, Wisconsin, at 10 a.m. every Sunday morning on radio station 99.7. Catholics.fm. We invite you to worship with us again next Sunday at this same time. The cable television rebroadcast this service will be shown at noon today on Spectrum Cable Channel 10 and Antenna TV 43. You may also watch the services on St. John's Lutheran Church and School's Facebook and YouTube pages at 9 a.m. every Sunday. St. John's Lutheran Schools serves children in the 3-year-old preschool through the 8th grade. This broadcast is made possible by your contributions to the Media Ministry Fund. We thank you. Your letters and comments address to St. John's Lutheran Church, 624 East Street, Baraboo, Wisconsin, 53913, are appreciated. Advent by Candlelight is on Friday, December 6th at 6 p.m. in the Fellowship Hall. Morning Dove's Cookie Walk on Sunday, December 15th from 8:30 to 11 a.m. Cookies are $8 a pound. If you wish to donate cookies, please bring or drop them off on Friday, December 13th or before church on December 15th. Christmas decorating inside the church will be on Wednesday, December 4th at 5 p.m. As a reminder, next week's service will be Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. Again, next week's night service will be Wednesday night, 6:30 p.m. The television producer is Will Underwood. This is David Grant. May God bless you and lead you to a stronger relationship with Jesus Christ, our Savior. We encourage you to live for Him who died for you.
You've been listening to the Sunday Morning Worship Service from St. John's Lutheran Church in Baraboo. For worship times, visit stjohnsbaraboo.org.